Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with the Rant of a Free Trapper. I think you're going to enjoy this, and some of y'all probably going to get pretty aggravated with me, and I apologize for that ahead of time. I listened to a guy called Ben Shapiro. He's a really fast talking guy, political, sharp guy. And he has this thing he does once a week, and it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I'm in the shop, we got freezers running, and the air's coming off on and on, so I apologize if there's any background noise if it's picking that up. But he does this thing called the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I don't really have a good, a bad, and the ugly, but I do got a good and I got an ugly. Or it could be a good and a bad. But I want to do this. Now the first one is not a rant, but it's information. I had a gentleman email me, or maybe it was on Facebook, I'm not sure, message me. And he was saying he made bone broth and it tasted like crap and he's going to go to using powder, which I didn't know there was such a thing. And I wanted to go over this process really quick. See, that's the good. The bad is something that I'm going to call breasticles. And I've heard that term before and I don't really know what the term was for. But if you've ever wondered why guys get man boobs and they act like girls and they're all sensitive like girls and they don't act like guys, you may be surprised one of the major contributing factors in America, what's causing breasticles. And I get to pick on Chip because he just laid it out there in front of me, and since we're friends, I just can't help it. But the bone broth to start with, guys, and just keep in mind that the rant is sponsored by Funky Trap Tags and Supply. If you need trap tags or any supplies, give them a chance. Alan is a super guy to deal with. So I just wanted to say that before we get started. So, bone broth. I hadn't talked about bone broth in probably a year and a half. If you don't know what it is, it's basically a old school soup. If you've ever had pho soup, it's spelled P-H-O. But it's like what you don't want your kids saying, pho, but you leave off the other letters. That's how you pronounce it, pho soup. If you ever get that in a Vietnamese restaurant, you'll kind of know what bone broth is. But what we're going to talk about is more in depth than that. It's delicious. So the gentleman that said something about bone broth, he said it's tasted like crap. So I wanted to go over this, and this is the good. Before we get to the breasticles and really having some fun with Chip, this is the good part of it. So bone broth, basically what it is, it's a highly concentrated hot liquid like a soup. It's like what chicken broth used to be, but since no one actually makes chicken broth anymore, hardly, and they buy it in a can and it's pretty much just reconstituted those little tablets with some water and oil. I mean, it's nothing comparable to that. It's rich. It's full of vitamins and it's full of minerals. It really is. It is delicious. And if you start drinking it, your body will crave it. And if you're kind of curious about what it is, find a Vietnamese or a Thai restaurant and ask them for pho soup. And it doesn't matter what kind you get, it's going to be a bone broth base. Now, they don't cook it as long as I'm going to tell you to. But you will kind of get an idea of what it is. If it's cold and in the winter, I'm telling you, it's something that you just cannot wait to get a hold of. A lot of times when I'm out trapping or I'm out hunting, I'll have a thermos of this. That's my lunch. It's very filling, especially if you add a couple tablespoons of butter to it. There's a lot of fat in this and a lot of collagen. It helps the way your joints feel. It makes your brain sharper. It sounds like a miracle cure. I don't think that's what it is, but it's pretty freaking close. And it's when the old saying, you know, when you're sick, you eat chicken soup. That's because they actually really used real bone broth back in the day, not the manufactured quick stuff that we use today. So this is how I make it. And it's not any hard or fast rules, but what I would say, if you're making bone broth strictly off of bones, you're not going to have the flavor or the complexity that you want. So, like, if I have to cull a chicken or a duck, or I get one of my favorite places to get bones for this is a Mexican grocery store that has a butcher shop. They pretty much give you these big bones with marrow in them. And on those type of bones, you don't have to have a lot of meat, because those big marrow bones, like off the hind quarter, it's got basically bone marrow or meat that's inside of the bones. It's as big as a golf ball. You'll have all the flavor you want with that. But if you have ribs out of a pig, a cow, a deer, a beaver, anything like that, or if you have, you know, your wife gets rotisserie chicken somewhere and it's a good quality chicken, everything that after you pick it off, that's perfect for bone broth. So there's not really a formula that you have to use. One of my favorite things that we do it makes a tremendous bone broth is about every 2 or 3 weeks we have a great barbecue place up the road that smokes their own meat, and it's really good quality meat. And we'll get a couple racks of baby back ribs, and we will eat everything we can eat, and there's enough bones in there, then I'll save back about 3 of those baby back ribs, and I will throw that in the pot. So that's kind of the main bones of this. And then I will add the other things to it. So before you throw it in the pot, one of the things that helps, if you put it on a sheet tray, put some olive oil down so it doesn't stick, and then put your chunks of meat and your ribs or your chicken that you pick clean or whatever it is, but you need to have some meat on there. You know, like if you wanted to make really good bone broth, you know, after you take the back leg off of a deer, you could break that back leg in half, and everything that's left on there after you kind of take your ham off of there, that's plenty of meat to give it flavor. So then you put it in an oven for about 30 to 40 minutes on 400 degrees. And what you're basically doing is caramelizing that meat. Also at this time at the Mexican restaurant, I will get, not the restaurant, but the grocery store, when I go there, I'll always get 3 or 4 pounds of chicken feet, which sounds bad to an American, but you really want that inside of this. So it doesn't have to be just beef, just deer, just chicken. Whatever I've got, I put in here. And this is the way that great-grandparents used to actually do bone broth, the soup. I mean, that's what they cooked with. They didn't go to the grocery store. I mean, the first grocery store wasn't even in the world till 1940. If you can imagine that. But most wives today think chicken stock comes from Swanson in a box. So they made their own. So then I put the meat, whatever it is, and the bones, and I'll probably have, depending on the size that you have to cook with, I use a crock pot. I've got a crock pot that's too hot. It gets really hot. We've got another crock pot that doesn't get as hot, and I don't use that for bone broth. I want this to be able to boil. And this crock pot we have is a big one, and it does boil. So I'll probably have, like say, 3 or 4 pounds of rib meat out of a pig and a couple of the whole baby back ribs. Then I'll have some chicken bones thrown in there. Then I'll have maybe 3/4 of a pound or a pound of chicken feet. And I spread it on a tray. I put that in the oven at 400 degrees for about 30, 40 minutes. It smells delicious. It'll be all kind of, it'll start caramelizing on you. You pull that out, and then I go to the crock pot. So this is where I think maybe some people will get confused on the bone broth, because you can make it a lot of different ways depending on your own flavor. I take those bones that's been in the oven, and I put it with the chicken feet inside the crock pot. And then personally, because I grow all this stuff, it's easier for me to do, I will put in rosemary, a lot of rosemary, a lot of garlic. I mean, like a couple of heads of garlic. I don't even worry about peeling them. I just kind of separate them, smash them with a knife, because we're going to strain this out later, so I don't chop them up or anything. I put the garlic in there. I'll put some parsley in there and some thyme in there. Whatever herbs, marjoram, whatever you have, put it in there. And then I'll usually put something either like carrots or parsnips. I don't like rutabagas, but I know that people that do that use that, and they like it. But I use parsnips a lot and carrots. I've done sweet potatoes. That's made an interesting bone broth. See, it's not like a recipe. You're just trying to get a bunch of stuff in there, and you're making a base, which we would consider like a chicken stock. And then you're going to drink this later. So I'll put these, and that's what we call in the if you're in the world of bone broth, that's your aromatics, your herbs, your rosemary, your thyme, your garlic. Onions, I'll put in a couple of big onions that I just rough cut. I don't even peel them. You just chop it up in 4 or 5 pieces and throw it in there. I played around and put a seaweed in there, which I didn't really appreciate. I've tried different small fish, which I didn't really appreciate the way that made it change. So it's kind of a learning thing of what you're doing. Then you fill up your crock pot with water. After you got your baked off meat or your caramelized meat and your bones and your aromatics, you put it in a crock pot, or you can just do it on the stove if you want to. It's easy on the crock pot. And then you just let it boil. Now, that's all the ingredients that go in this, but there is an order for this to work. So let me backtrack just a little bit because I'm getting ahead of myself. I will put the meat products with about an inch from the top with water of the crock pot, and I'll let that boil for probably 12-14 hours. So I'll put it in the morning, and then that night, probably about 8 or 9, I throw in my aromatics, which is the herbs and onions and garlic and stuff like that. Because, you know, we don't think of it this way today, those garlic and herbs are really strong medicine, because that's what they are. And then you don't want to boil those out too long. So you got 12 to 14 hours of just the meat. Then you put your aromatics in another 12 hours. That's 24 hours of boiling this. And what this does, if you add just a little bit of apple cider vinegar and get the stuff that looks like it's dirty. You can even get this at Walmart. There's all different kind of brands, but you want the mother. That's what they call this stuff. The mother in the apple cider vinegar. If it looks just like a colored water, you can use it, guys, but it is not as healthy as the stuff that's got the mother in it. So you want kind of a dirty looking apple cider vinegar, and you put in maybe 2 tablespoons. What that vinegar does is it pulls all of the vitamins and minerals out of the bones. And your body can taste this when you drink it. I mean, it's heaven. So you put that in there, when you put your aromatics in there, it finishes pulling out all the goodness from the bones, all the calcium, and it's all in a form your body can take up. Because it's kind of like, you know, you got all these vegans running around eating raw kale. Well, what good does that do you? Because all the vitamins in kale are oil-based minerals. So you got to have oil in there to even get the minerals out of kale. But when you're doing the meat and the fat and everything like that, that's going to be just naturally on the bones and the marrow and all that, you get all of this stuff that goes around. So you've got a water and an oil mixture that's boiling, and it's pulling all of this nutrient out. After the second 12 hour after the aromatics, you simply add salt and pepper to taste. You don't put the salt and pepper in before, because it'll just evaporate out. Now, this is probably why the gentleman's bone broth didn't taste good. If you don't salt this, it's like eating an unsalted meal or an unpeppered meal, and it doesn't taste very good. So right at the very end, like with 20 or 30 minutes before you pull it, I like a lot of pepper. You know, if you're from Maine, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's Irish hot sauce. I'll throw that in there. And then I'll put enough salt in there till I know that I'll be able to taste the salt. And that brings out all of this very complex flavor. And then you will take it, and what I'll do is I got a gallon container, and I've got a strainer that'll fit on that. And I will pour the soup through the strainer. So all of the bones at that point, all of the garlic peels and the onion peels and all that, that's not going in there. It's just a clear soup base at that point. And then I will put, in the winter, I just go set it out on the table if it's going to be 32 degrees or colder, to get it cold. This stuff holds heat like you wouldn't believe. If it's in the summer, I've got a cooler that I fill up with ice, and I will sit the bone broth after it's strained out inside of that to cool it off really quick. This is a health reason to do this, because there's a lot of bacteria in the heat and the fat and all that type of stuff. that you don't want to have in the bone broth that's reproducing. And then once that cools off, I'll pour it into pint jars, because that's about the size that I drink when I'm drinking this, which is a really good large cup of coffee, basically. Before I put it in the cup, this is very important if you're going to use bone broth. You're dealing with a chance of bacteria that you need to boil this before you do it, because you're not canning it, you're not preserving it, you're not adding enough salt to kill everything. So what I'll do is, I've got a little pot that's just for bone broth. I'll pour the bone broth into it, and then you'll need to take a spoon and scrape out all of the little white congealed stuff, because that comes from your chicken feet. And that's what makes your joints feel better. And believe it or not, it also makes your brain sharper. So you've got all of this collagen, you've got all of these minerals, you've got all of these vitamins, and you've got all of this flavor that you're putting in this jar. I'll fill those jars up once they're cool, and I will stick them in the freezer. The refrigerator. And then when I do a batch out of our large crock pot, I will normally get about a week's worth of bone broth, one a day for that. So when I get up in the morning, I'll still drink my coffee with my butter. And then somewhere during the day, I will pour that in that little pot. I'll bring it to boil for about 30 seconds. I'll pour it in my coffee cup, and I'll drop two or three ice cubes in there just to bring it down. And I basically just drink it like you would a hot drink, hot tea or hot coffee. But your body immediately will thank you for this. I would say the reason that the gentleman's bone broth didn't work is it wasn't seasoned, or it didn't have aromatics in there. And that really depends what it is. I know people that put jalapenos in there, habaneros in there. I like more of the herby type stuff. So if it's in the middle of summer, I'll use basil. You know, cut up chives. We grow a lot of chives here. You know, whatever's in the yard or whatever I've got, that's what I use. But then the salt and pepper brings all of that out. So that's the good of the rant. And that's not really a rant, but that's something that if you really get into doing, trust me, it's something you'll want to do for the rest of your life. And your body will thank you for it. Now the ugly. I know there's going to be some people that's going to get mad at me. I'm amazed at today's world, with the information that we have, that we're still so stupid as a country and a civilization and just a world population of people, that we cannot take 5 minutes to do a Google search on what we're eating. Now, the bone broth is 100% good. There's people that argue how valuable it is. But the next thing is, you're still going to have people argue how valuable this is. And it's one of the most destructive things that we have ever done in America as far as our food. Now, you're probably thinking I'm going to go off on Monsanto's or something like that. No. I'm talking about a natural plant. Something that's in pretty much everything that you eat if you're buying all your stuff at the grocery store. And if you have a baby and you're feeding this garbage to your baby, you need to stop. For goodness, for the sake of your child, you need to stop putting this in there. I don't care what the government says about this product. Do your own research. You will be surprised at what you find, because the information's out there. Just because a major company puts a cute baby on a bottle and says this is baby formula, don't feed it to your kid if you look on the label and you see that there's soy in that product. Now, soy, it's a natural product, right? It's a plant. It's healthy. It's green. It's all this type stuff. No, it is not. Now, the vegans and the vegetarians like soy because it is pretty much, as far as protein and carbohydrates, it's pretty perfect. But there's a dark side. See, there's herbs, just like mushrooms. Plants are just like mushrooms. You can go eat all the morels you want. Unless you're allergic to them, you just think they're good. You get a false morel, you're probably dead. Or you're going to wish you were dead if you don't die. See, it's a plant. It's natural. A real morel and a false morel. What's the difference? It's natural. That's what everybody's looking for, right? Natural. Soybeans, natural. Give me a break. The reason that I am still amazed with the educated people of America today that want to fight about soybeans. Now, I understand there's a lot of money in soybeans. Commercial farmers, they grow them by the gazillion bushels. They pump them out there for the commodity market. Where do they go? They go into everything. And another, the bad part about it is even if you're not eating a plant, you're eating an animal and it ate this stuff, what we're getting ready to talk about is in the fat of the animal that you're eating. Soybeans. Now, I want to talk a little bit about estrogen. Estrogen is a natural hormone in females. Testosterone is the natural hormone of males. That's what makes you a male. That's what makes you be productive. That's what makes you want to go out and kill it and bring it home to either supply for your family. Testosterone is why you're not a whining, sniveling little wimp that's crying all the time and all this stuff like a teenage little girl. It's testosterone. That's what makes a man a man. And the opposite version of testosterone is estrogen. And that's what makes a woman a woman. But a hormone is a very unusual thing. When your body's in balance, your body works great. When your hormones are out of balance, it gets crazy. Now, when you look at a chickpea or a black bean or a pinto bean, and you look at the amount of estrogen that are in those beans, it's about somewhere between 7 and 13 micrograms of estrogen. When you look at a soybean, it's over 1,000 micrograms of soybean. So every time you're eating this soybean, you're taking estrogen, volume of estrogen treatments. Now you may be saying, yeah, but it's, why does that matter? Well, we're getting ready to get into that. What does that matter? It screws up your hormones. It gets you out of whack. Now, with a guy, what does that do to have too much estrogen from eating soybeans in your system? Now, I want you to think about America as a whole and see if any of these symptoms come to mind. Now, what I was talking about Chip earlier. Chip, I sent him a letter. He's uploading. He's doing tomorrow night's Trapping Radio show. And he was letting me know that he was uploading because if we're both on there at the same time, security reasons, it kicks us out. So I'm like, not a problem. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I won't be on there for about an hour and a half. And then I'll be uploading the show about the breasticles. And he comes back and says he loves breasticles. Now, I don't know, guys. Now, Chip's a good friend of mine. And this is why you need to know who your friends are, because sometimes your friends will have fun at your expense. Anytime that I've got the word testicles in breasticles and someone says they love them, I'm going to bust their balls about it a little bit. Now, he thought that I said it was something like breast icicles or something like that. He'd come back with that. So what I think we need to do as a Trapping Radio audience is get a bunch of t-shirts that says, I'm with him, he loves breast testicles. Because that's kind of the word, that's a hybrid of that word there. And I just thought it'd be kind of fun to have fun with him about that. He knew I was going to do something. But the reason I'm saying breasticles, I want you to think about a lot of the men today, and there's a lot of soybeans being eaten by men today. Breasticles. That's testicles that might as well be breast. That means there's not enough testosterone. Why is there not enough testosterone? Because people are eating 1,000 micrograms of estrogen with a bean. You're taking estrogen hormone treatments when you eat soybeans the way we Americans eat soybeans. Now, one of the first things that vegans and vegetarians always say is, but the Asian people have been eating soybeans for generations and they're healthy. And that is true. But see, you couldn't get an Asian person to eat a soybean unless it was fermented over a long time. And when you do that, you bring that microgram of estrogen down to about 13. Just like eating a chickpea. Not the commercial, quick fabricated, fake fermentation when you get some soy sauce down at the Wally World or something. I'm talking about true fermentation, like you're making sauerkraut the way that they make soybeans and soybean paste over in Asia. But men in America today, because we're eating so many soybeans, they're acting like girls. They're acting like teenage girls. And you want to know why? Because they are. And why are they? Because they're taking estrogen hormone treatments when they eat all this stuff that's got soybeans in here. I want to give you some of the symptoms for men that'll make you a little bit uncomfortable. Estrogen makes a male infertile. Has anybody ever heard of all the problems with married couples having babies today? They're infertile. They're eating a lot of soybeans. The man is now becoming a woman, even though he doesn't know it. So he's not shooting full loads at this time because it's estrogen-based, not testosterone-based. Infertility is a common thing with males that take a lot of estrogen. Another thing is man boobs, boy breast, whatever you want to call them. That's from estrogen. It's not from being fat. It's not from drinking beer. It's not from eating too much pizza. It's from estrogen. Man breast is because men are eating something they shouldn't eat. Another thing that happens with men when they eat a lot of estrogen, because they're no longer a full man anymore, is erectile dysfunction. I mean, Viagra wants you to eat soy because they're going to have to give you a chemical so you can do what you need to do or want to do. Maybe if you quit taking so much estrogen, you could act the way that a man was supposed to act. Now, there's a lot of reasons that men could get this, I'm sure. But I think the common reason today is because there's soy in everything. You eat bacon and you think, well, I'm a man, I'm eating bacon. What do you think that pig ate? Soy. What do you think all that estrogen goes to in that pig? The fat. So when you hear me and Meat Trapper talk about all the wild game and stuff that we're getting, that's one of the reasons I'm doing it. I want to be as man as long as I can be a man. And I know that I'm probably not going to be having a lot of estrogen being fed to the stuff that I'm killing. There could be. I mean, deer eat soybeans, but they also eat a lot of other stuff. That's very different from the factory farming that we have today with pigs. You get very emotional when you have a lot of estrogen as a man. I'm not saying emotion is bad, but see, the structure of a family group is a mom is motherly and a father is fatherly, and the father usually has tough love. But you get a man that's now becoming a woman because he's eating all of this estrogen. Now you got two motherly figures in the family. And the kids are all of a sudden, you know, they can't handle any rejection. Everybody's treating them like they're little bitty babies. That's why. So it screws with your sex life. It gives you breast. It makes you infertile. And it makes you emotional. That is not the best course for a man. Now, you may be thinking, well, you know, most of the vegans and stuff like that, that I know of are women, and they're eating a bunch of soybeans. Oh, yeah, yeah. What does it cause in a woman? It causes bloating. Swelling and tenderness in your breast. Now, the swelling for a guy wouldn't be a bad thing, but the tenderness to her would be. Fibrosis lumps in their breast. Hello. How many women now get breast cancer and they're eating soy all the time? Because they're basically taking high doses of estrogen that throws their hormones off. Decreased sex drive. Not good for a marriage. Irregular menstrual periods. It brings on severe cases of PMS. Not good for the marriage. Crazy mood swings because our hormones are messed up. Lots of headaches. They just sound familiar. Anxiety and panic attacks. They gain weight like crazy because our hormones are out of whack. They lose their hair. Just think of all the commercials you're going to see tonight on TV and you'll see that this is really common. Cold hands and cold feet. They have trouble sleeping. They're fatigued and they have memory problems. That's what it does to a woman. Now, the last thing I want to say about the ugly soybeans. When you look at the formulas today that have soy in there, because almost all of them do, I want you to think about what's happening. Today in California, there's a little kid that went to school and their teacher convinced them that it's cool to be a transsexual. That even though they have an outie, that they feel like they should have an innie, and if they feel like they should have an innie, then that's their prerogative, and they make it sound really cool to be the opposite of whatever you are. So the kid runs home to the parents. And the parents all of a sudden go, oh, maybe our kids is trans. And that makes us cool because we're with the cool parents because we have a cool kid. So what do the parents do? They run to a doctor. What does the doctor do? He will take a boy and put him on high doses of estrogen to turn a male into a female. Now, see, that's under medical reasons because the science of that is stupid because there's only two genders. You either have an outie or an innie, and that makes you a male or a female. Sorry, there's no other genders but that. You can have crazy sexual preferences. That's not part of the conversation. There's a male or there's a female. But when they want to transfer a male to a female, they give them high doses of estrogen. What does soybeans do? Over 1,000 micrograms of estrogen every single time you eat it. Wow. Now, this is what's happening to today's kids. You're giving your son or daughter high doses of estrogen treatment from the formula that's loaded with soybeans because it's loaded with estrogen. All because the government is basically being lobbied by the soybean industry and the commodity market to make it out to this perfect food. Everybody knows how dangerous soybeans are, but if there's money to be made, who cares? Your politicians don't care, your lobbyists don't care. As long as the farmer gets his money, he probably doesn't care. It's just a product. It's not his fault what it does. He's just growing it, this, that, and the other. All of the children today that are being fed formula with soy is starting them off on hormone treatments from birth. And we wonder why we have all of these issues. And we wonder why you can't really tell a lot of times if you're talking to a boy or a girl. A lot of times you can't tell if it looks like a boy or a girl. They're emotional like a boy or a girl when it's the opposite of what it should be. Is there any wonder? You're giving them hormone treatments from the very beginning. Now, if you just went to a doctor, take soybeans out of the equation, and said, I think that I should start giving my son or daughter estrogen hormone treatments just because I think it'll make him a better person, will you please prescribe me estrogen to give my infant child the doctor would look at you in horror and probably call the government and have your children taken away. But people do it every day because they've never taken 5 minutes to look up what's in their feeding their children. I'm sorry. When you look at what is going on in schools as far as what they feed the children, people feed their pets better than they do their children at school. You wouldn't even say that you would have a healthy dog or a cat feeding them what they feed them at school. But it meets the regulation. And then moms and dads, unknowingly, because they don't do their own research, they give their children from birth massive doses of estrogen. Now see, there's an interesting thing with soybeans. I'm going to close up with this. Soybeans have a crazy amount of estrogen. Soybeans that go in grain bins have double the amount of estrogen. The mold that grows on soybeans in the bins is a secondary form of estrogen. So it is a double whammy. It's not just the bean. So if you look at a study, it can't be the bean. It's got to be the bean and the mold. Over in Europe, which I don't think that they're more advanced than we are, but over in Europe, they test for the mold because they realize how bad the estrogen is. All the soybeans that are grown in Europe that have any type of mold on there because of the estrogen, do you know where they send them and who buys them? America! We'll take all the estrogen you can give us. That's just sad. So if you want to be a man, you don't eat soybeans. And if you want to be a healthy woman, you don't eat soybeans. Unless they're old school, slow years of fermentation to get some of the products that are fermented soybeans. Soybean oil you're cooking with, the stuff that's going in your animals, just look at everything that you eat, you'll see soy in everything. It's your choice. It's an ugly product. At least it is to a dumb redneck from Tennessee. You couldn't pay me to knowingly eat soybeans. Not a chance. And I cringe every time I see parents feeding their kids soy. They can do it out of love. They can do it out of ignorance. They can do it out of everything. But when the rubber meets the road, guys, that is so destructive to a human being. Adult or child alike. It's totally up to you. If you don't believe me, do your own research. You'll find out that I could have went a long time about this ugly. Because it is ugly. But the neat thing about being in a free country is you don't have to eat it if you don't want to. You can make something like bone broth that your body will absolutely absorb, and you will tell a difference just after a couple of weeks of drinking bone broth. You will feel younger, your joints will feel better, your mind will be sharper. See, that's what good food does for you. Or you can walk around with breasticles, because basically if you're a male, your testicles are now breasts. That to me is what a breasticle is. The choice is yours. It's your life. Do what you want to do. But think before you do it.